But by the 1950s, there was a lot of increase in building. Wansco Walk, Park Grove, Hillview, a lot of properties had sort of come up, Brecon Road, all around there. Yeah. So there were a lot more properties around, but certainly not... They didn't have the population in the 50s that they've got these days, because since the 50s we've had the blind school site, we've had Tesco's around there, Golden Hill developed.
Which was the blind school site?
That's where Pycroft is now. And if you go down to the dual carriageway along Henney's Road, there's Old Quarry Park on the left-hand side, and on the right-hand side... if you're driving towards Southmead, there is an entrance to Pycroft, and there's these neo-Georgian, 90 neo-Georgian properties, Broadleys Avenue, Wycliffe Road. There's about four or five different roads there. Quite a prestigious site, actually. But it was a very sad day when the blind school, which was purpose-built and called the Royal School for the Blind, disappeared off the face of the earth. And the boys down there, interestingly enough, built the foundations of the swimming pool.
Really?
Because they didn't have the money, the school, to do it. And then they managed to raise the money so that contractors could go in. And obviously, once a hole was dug, the contractors then obviously did the remainder. But the children in Henley's then, in the 50s, when these schools just opened, that the families and the children could use that open-air swimming pool.
Oh, really?
And it was on quite a casual basis. Unlike Henney's Lake, you have to be a member there. It was, you could go down there after school, you know, with your parents, or, you know, which was lovely. And I felt it was somewhat sad when that disappeared in the 1960s.
Yes.
That's something else that went by the board.
So what are that? Oh, I've got to remember the wind. Did you know about when we had the gale and the roof came off?
In the great, was that the great gale of the hurricane of whenever it was?
Gale, and we, in fact, during the lunchtime we were getting a bit worried because we could see the weather helicopter up above, and we had the radio on because we were very concerned about the fact that it was obviously, the weather was getting pretty bad. And we could see that the weather helicopter wasn't stable. And we could hear them on the radio up there saying, we're really having trouble here. We don't think we can stay up here any longer. We're going to have to go and land. And we could actually see it. You know, it was very wobbly. And so then we all went back to our classrooms, and it really was. And of course, those windows upstairs were just... rattling away, and it was really quite scary. I brought my whole class down, as in fact so did Mr. Dash, but Mr. Kendall told us to go back up, which was fine, and we went back up, and in fact I sat my whole class on the floor, and we all sat on the floor, and I read to them, because there was nothing up, because it was just horrific. And about half an hour later the whole roof of the hall came off. It just peeled off like a sardine can.
Well, it landed in the playground.
And just took off, and yes.
Just flew across the...
Just took off.
Site.
And a tree came down and blocked the exit to Claremont, so none of the children could get out of Claremont. So that was so the fire brigade had to come. That was a major operation to get the children out of there.
So how long was the hall out of action for?
Oh, we had a tarpauling over it after a few weeks, and we were under a tarpauling for months. So that was quite exciting. And then we had an earthquake one day.
You remember when we were top of the SATs tables or something. Something happened, or we had an outstanding Ofsted report or something. A bloke contacted me who was a lord, and he was a member of the European Parliament. And we had a telephone call from him, sort of congratulating us on the way the school had gone. And then I went to a meeting very soon after, actually, out at Redwood Lodge, and just chatting to people, and I can't remember what the meeting was about, and a guy came up to me and he said, Mr. Kendall, you're head of Henley's Junior School? He said, yes. He said, I went there. He said, I lived in the houses immediately across the road from there, and I'm head of BBC Radio 4.
Because we had a, I can remember this big contraption of a television coming out. We all watched the first space shuttle take off in the main hall. Oh. I do remember that. They wheeled it out for that.
And then we had the England rugby guy here, didn't we?
Yes, I got the rugby.
I won. You won, didn't you? It wasn't Jeremy Guscott. It was the one who was a Dr. Webb.
Yes. Oh, Jonathan Webb.
Who was the England rugby player. I don't think he was captain.
No, he played.
And he came and gave the kids a talk for an hour.
Yeah.
And we had a rugby ball to
with all their names.
With all the England names. We raffled that as well. Yeah, and you won it, didn't you?
Jean Fuchs said, "I'll give you £100 for that."
Have you still got it?
Yes, I have.
Talking about Mark Watson, I expect the comedian. He's done really well.
Yeah, he has.
He's on television, radio, writing books now.
Yeah, he's done fantastic.
Do you remember him?
Oh yeah, I remember.
Yeah,
him.
Very well.
Serious little
well,
boy.
They were. They were because he was here when Mum had the twins.
Mum had the twin girls.
The girls, you see, were very talented.
And they went. They did. Well, they were bright. They went to.
She wrote that terrific prose, didn't she?
Very serious little prose.
But my goodness, her poetry was absolutely phenomenal. Yeah.
It's thanks to the Baydock family who have made a huge impression on the area. The Baydock family lived in the manor house on Southmead Road, and the mother, whose Christian name escapes me, she was the actual founder of Badminton School, and also the son, the Baydock son, who I think was William Baydock, he bought the property that was the deaf school in Westbury on Trim, has now been demolished, and he was responsible for initially not owning but leasing Henley's Lake for people, for fish, you know, for local residents, for fishing and for swimming as well.
Because the girls, there was a girls' playground and the boys' playground, I think, I remember, we were separated.
Oh, were you, at playtime?
Yeah, separated at playtime. Yeah, in fact, the boys went on the top playground and the girls went out the side, as far as I remember.
Right.
I'm sure.
I remember the Wendy House, yes.
It was built fairly early on.
It didn't have a particular function. We always used to meet at the Wendy House. Or if you wanted to, you know, contemplate the sort of the laws of the universe, you could sort of go and sit in the Wendy House and do that. But I think the girls used to use it more than the boys. The boys, they used to have sort of, you know, chats. And, you know, it was a rather nice facility that was there rather than having an actual real function.
I seem to remember it from very early on. So whether it was part of the original concept,
then we had the Liberal Dem leader here, of course, in the school, Charles Kennedy. He came here, meeting all the heads in the area. It was an education policy in some way.
I remember playing Kiss Chase and being stung by the stinging nettles.
Oh really? Yes, the stinging nettles still present a problem. There's not a lot we can do about them.
There's a lady called Mrs. Scannell who was, I think she was deputy head. And she always used to keep the scores. Quite a fearsome lady. And she used to write them up on a blackboard, and then she had a cane that she was obviously had previous uses before we came, that she would then point to Hawks, Kestrels, Eagles, Ravens and the results, and then they were displayed on the notice board just outside the main hall every week.
I think I might have had to sit in the corridor for a couple of occasions.
Yeah.
And I think I might have been sent to the head teacher once. I can't remember what for.
No.
Because I don't think I was particularly naughty.
No.
Probably more mischievous than naughty.
I can remember one boy in the infant school. I remember walking up to the headmistress's office because I was sent there on an errand or something, I think, and seeing one boy sort of over her knee having that done to him. But I can't remember anyone ever being caned in the infant school.
It's hard to imagine that now. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Can you imagine being sent down to the head's office and smacked or whacked with a stick?
I know my brothers used to get the slipper here. I'm sure they had the slipper at the when they were here.
But certainly school-wise, I would say this is where I was happiest. It was it was great. But I think there was just a good mix of. I was trying to find some of my old school reports actually at my parents' house, and I can't find them. But if I do ever find them, I'll let you have them. But I think there's something about some of the teachers here that were just so good at sort of firing. firing the imagination in certain things. And, you know, I can remember doing certainly the thing about the Montgolfier brothers and that being, you know, something of interest. And I think we did that because it sort of centred it around the Balloon Fiesta and talked about Bristol and the Balloon Fiesta and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I can remember my father being a little bit put out because, of course, he was a very solemn maths teacher at Cotton and taught, you know, O-levels and A-levels and things. And we were sitting around tables and I brought a project home to do. I don't think he thought that was quite the done thing. I don't know why, because it was formal maths, you know, he didn't enjoy it, you know. I don't think. Or, you know, you loved maths because it was so beautiful, end of, you know, there's no other way around it, you know, he's a proper mathematician.
Yeah. Oh, we did have a lot of fun, but at different times,
weren't
they?
But you need humour, don't you, in any situation,
absolutely. Yeah.